Sports in the Morning. Text him now at 960-960. Sports at 960 The Fan.
Monday morning, Boomer in the Morning, along with Ryan Pinder, Jay DeForest, spinning the tunes this morning. Little Aerosmith for your artist of the day. An interesting choice to kick things off. You had said, Jay, that you've been listening to some Aerosmith.
And I've had this one on in the car, so that's why this to start. I purposely cut out the cat screams at the beginning of the song.
Yeah, well, you do love kitties.
That's for this is their last good album, by the way. It really turned to crap after this.
Which album was
this? This is Nine Lives. I think I was like 13 when it came out. I was kind of just caring about music.
So this is before he started putting on women's makeup and going to hair salons?
No, it was after.
No, he was doing that already.
They were doing that
for years, but...
Not related, I guess.
After this, it's really been a hot pile of garbage for this band.
Shooby dabba dooba.
This is a really good album, though, I think.
Nine Lives?
Yeah.
Well, now I need to look. Because I would submit that this is not very good. Falling in Love Is Harder Than Knees was not a bad song.
Yeah.
I didn't mind Pink.
Mm. See, that's the one I don't care about.
Very risque.
I just like I like the way he squeals when he... Pink is your favorite color! But yeah, this is well...
Good songs on this one. You have to really wade through the crap with this band, too.
Mm.
They have like five or six just awful, you know, power ballads.
Whatever you do...
Which, of course, are the ones on YouTube with 900 million views.
I was going to say, whatever you do, don't play that Armageddon song.
No.
Or I'm coming into the booth.
Or Crazy or Amazing or...
Always liked Jay. That was sad.
Hey, come on. I liked all of those. Crazy, Amazing, Angel. Remember SNL, they did a bit? The Crazy Amazing Angel, because it's like all the same song.
Didn't they have a run of like music videos in the 90s that all had
Alicia Silverstone?
Yeah. They were all just terrible songs.
I don't know how I knew that.
There was one with Liv Tyler.
Yeah.
With both of them in it, though.
Yes, please.
Very...
All right. Well, that's
his daughter.
That is his daughter, Jay.
Weird that she was all...
Yeah.
Potted up in the video.
Yeah.
I'm talking too much. I'm going to go away now.
No, I like it.
Who is this guy?
Well, go figure it'd be Aerosmith that would bring Jay out of the box.
Is Jay on acid? Why is he talking so much?
All right.
There
Jesus, did we play the whole song?
Yeah.
Good God.
So, sports.
That never happens on this show, but still. Good morning, 707 Boomer, along with Ryan Pinder. We got guests coming in studio. Did you know that, Pinder? We got to clean this place up.
Yeah, there's a lot of paper around here.
We got Sheldon Kennedy and Cody Snyder, world champion bull rider, not
awesome.
Kennedy Snyder. This Thursday night, the Packers Plus Sheldon Kennedy Child Advocacy Center PBR Bull Bustin' Event.
Brought to you by
Packers Plus and Sheldon Kennedy Child Advocacy Center. Now they're raising money. This is a cool event. It's the bull riding event that kind of is one of the unofficial kickoffs to Stampede. They do it in behind Granchman's.
Yeah.
We were there last year, had a great time. We had the boys in, and money being raised going towards the CAC, the Sheldon Kennedy Center, which is doing great things. I can tell you firsthand from having been there and seen it with my own eyes. We're a better community for having this center here.
Some of the best bulls and the best bull riders right ahead of Stampede, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Thursday's the day they raise a bunch of dough for charity. It's it's one of the hidden gems around Stampede. If you haven't been around town a lot, you're like, what's this? Bull riding before the Stampede?
Yeah.
Awesome. And you can get close.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
And you're right there. And you'll notice two things a lot of times. A, the bull riders are a lot smaller than you would think. You think these would be big strap and dude. No, a lot of times it's just they're a little wiry.
Oh, yeah.
Wiry guys.
Twisted steel.
Yeah. And the other thing you notice is just how big those bloody bulls are.
Oof.
It makes you wonder at some point, who was the first? Because at some point, someone was the first to get on the back of one. And what the hell was he thinking?
Yeah, it dropped as a child.
What are you doing?
They're just shooting strings of snot like Spider-Man 30 feet into the stand. He's like, these things are bigger than I ever would have imagined.
Yeah. Went last year. Bull came like right by us.
Ooh.
Scared the bejabers out of us.
Oh, yeah. And you're behind the bars.
It's like, okay, we're fine. We've got this gate right here. No, that's just a gate. Like, it's just standing there.
If he wants through, he's coming through.
Feel like getting hit by a truck.
Or over.
Yeah. So that's coming up at 8 o'clock. Before the end of this hour, 7:45, write it down, Elliot Friedman.
Yes.
So free agency opens Wednesday. I know we'll talk about this tomorrow at greater length. But do want to get into a little bit. We'll talk about Dougie Hamilton and that coming up in the next segment. Of course, newest member of the Calgary Flames. And I think the trade for Dougie Hamilton, as we've said earlier this morning, is going to change perhaps what tomorrow looks like. I think if the Hamilton deal is not done, there's a chance that the Flames are saying, we learned last year that you need depth at defense. And all due respect to Corey Potter and Weatherspoon and whomever else played or didn't play, you like to have those extra bodies. So while it may not be a number one or a number two, there is likely going to be a defense. And hey, maybe there still is. But I would think the importance of said defenseman coming in is lessened a great deal.
You just brought in a guy that can play 25 minutes.
Without deleting anyone from your roster.
Yeah, so if there was a need, Egon. I mean, you've got six guys that I really like now and slotted properly more than anything else.
Slotting.
You're not going to put
it's about
Englund.
Slotting.
Good people. Slotting. Englund is obviously a third pairing guy. He was playing second pairing minutes for that run when Gio got injured. He is back to a number six. And then all of a sudden you have five guys you really like in Gio, Hamilton, Brody, Weidman, Russell.
Here's the thing that I'm most concerned about. It would seem like bringing in Hamilton, this is going to be fantastic. Again, let's careful what you wish for sometimes, and it doesn't always work out the way you think. But I think it's going to be good. There's depth. As you said, the six would seem to be in pen, not pencil.
Yep.
What I need to know is, what does this mean for the Schlemcat?
Do the Schlemcat. That's the name of this song. Do the Schlemcat. Take a little lesson, and you can't go wrong. Do the Schlem Cat. That's the way we like. Do the Schlem Cat.
Five, wow.
It's good.
I'm worried about him.
What now?
Well, can the Schlem Cat be your seven? I mean, I'm assuming
Do the Schlem Cat.
Schmied might be. You don't know what you're getting there, right?
Don't know what's up with Schmied. There's still some rumblings that he may just be done. Concussions and everything kind of his neck. May have him as a new father really kind of thinking about life post hockey.
And here's if you don't know, certainly don't plan for having him, right?
Yeah.
So you do need a seven. Now, is Tyler Weatherspoon that guy? It didn't seem like they trusted him a lot last year.
But if you're the Schlemcat, what kind of a deal are you looking for? Now, granted, on one hand, you were on waivers a year ago. Are you above taking a two-way deal?
Probably.
Are the Flames going to give him a one-way deal and pay him NHL dollars? And I don't think it matters to them if they were to give him
just a contract.
$1 million a season or less. And he'll make that regardless if it's in
Stockton
or Calgary. I don't know. But then again, I'm not the Schlemcat. So I don't know what the Schlemcat wants. I don't know what the Schlemcat needs.
If I'm the Schlemcat's agent, here's what I'll say. You got 30 GMs out there. somebody might need you more than the Flames. Someone might be able to pay you more than the Flames. And that scares me a little because I like the Schlemcat.
I do too. And I'll say this. I think his market value is probably higher now than it was when he was on waivers.
Oh, no question.
I think he probably showed a little bit.
Oh, absolutely.
With what he did here.
Do the Schlemcat.
That's right. Rafa Diaz.
See ya.
Probably see ya.
Corey Potter.
Probably see ya. But if you were anticipating that the Flames, yeah, they might be in on a Johnny Oduya. Might have to pay a guy like Johnny Oduya $3.5-4.5 million to come in and be a 3-4 in that middle pairing so that you can move people around, move them down. I don't know if you, I think they're past that now. So what are they looking for? If you're Brad Treliving, and I'm asking you, put your GM hat on. What's the number one thing you want to accomplish on Wednesday? To me, it's about slotting. I smell terrific. It's a goaltender.
Really?
I'm looking at my goaltending.
So are you...
Oh, look out!
Are you going to swap a goalie if you get a goalie? Is that the plan here?
Perhaps.
Yeah, I wouldn't be against that. I would say in a similar vein, go get a right winger. Trade a right winger. You've got two guys whose contracts expire at the end of the year, Hudler and Jones. I would feel them out in terms of how likely it is they're going to re-sign in Calgary and say, okay, are we willing to lose either of these guys for nothing? What's the trade market for both? And if I can go find a guy in free agency that can slide in on the right side, I can swap one of these guys out and get an asset.
Well, and beyond that, and I know you've talked about it, feeling them out about whether they want to be in Calgary is one thing. You as a team, in your internal discussions, are these extensions that you're going to be giving out?
Right. And what kind of, when I say feeling out, I mean just get a sense of what it's going to cost.
Yeah.
And if you say that's not in our budget or that skews things when we have to go give Gaudreau, Monahan, Bennett, Doe, then you know whether it's best to move on or to just let them walk on or move them at the deadline. But I think they make deals. I think the biggest thing the Flames can do for agency isn't go sign a guy, but go find the teams that missed out on a guy. And send a part to them.
Yeah, it could happen. But you'd want to have that relief valve, right?
Well, we
signed a guy, so now, you know, because I do think there's a market for Hudler.
Absolutely.
Certainly heard, I mean, that was the big talk in Vegas anyway, and I'm sure it was as they went to Florida, was Jiří Hudler. $4 million and can play with just about anybody.
Well, I mean, look at Pittsburgh. He's exactly the type of guy they want to surround Crosby or Malkin with. It's not a huge... They're not afraid of bringing a guy in on his last year of his deal. We've seen them do that a lot with guys because they feel like they have a chance to win. And if the guy wants, what are they going to not play? Oh, I think I'd play with better centers if I go somewhere else. No, you're going to be playing with a world-class centerman. I think he's a great fit in Pittsburgh.
Here is somebody actually had texted this in. Here's the one name that I believe they will be making contact with or have made contact and will try and sign. Depending on price, and it's Justin Williams of the LA Kings.
Right winger.
Right winger, right shot, 33 years of age, a Conn Smythe Trophy winner, plays hard, plays fast, plays it the right way. I think he would fit in here. I know it's not, it's like, oh, Jesus, 33. Yeah, but 33 is not 53. If you signed him on a 3-year deal, you're still going to be getting some good years, you would think, out of him. I just think he would fit into that group of leaders.
Yeah, I agree with that.
$3.65 million
last year.
He's not going to make more than that.
Oh, yeah, he is.
Not a ton more. Like, he's not going to six.
No, but...
This isn't a Bolesky deal.
No, but I was just going to say, I mean, if they were at the same money, you'd prefer Bolesky, I'd think, although Bolesky's a lefty.
They'll never be at the same money. Bolesky's...
Younger,
had more goals. Physical. There'll be more teams. Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if you got 4.5 to 5. And then it's like, it's a lot of dough.
Depends on the term.
Yeah.
It depends on the term. If it's a 2 or 3 year deal at 4 or whatever, it's like, okay, well.
Yeah. I just
come in and take care of these kids because I think there's still necessity for that.
July 1st, huge money, huge term. Very difficult to do otherwise. So I like your idea. I just feel like there's always one or two idiot GMs that make reasonable deals unpalatable on July 1st because they come over the top on you. But as a target, absolutely.
How about the, if, so you have Hoodler at four. If you trade him and get something of substance back, whether it's a pick or what have you, and you sign Justin Williams for 4.5 times 3, are you okay?
Yeah. I think in terms of swap in, swap out, Hoodler is going to be the better point guy, but certainly Williams will be the better leader, and I wouldn't hate it.
Question, why would the Flames go for a 33-year-old? Again, you, not everybody needs to be 22. Giordano is 32. Again, he's not 53. 33, in a lot of ways, that's when guys have ordinarily just gone to free agency at 33.
In the old days.
Right? This is a guy, he's won Stanley Cups, he's won a Conn Smythe, you know what he was, he's like got the best numbers ever by any player in a Game 7. I just think he's a competitor, and he's a leader, and he would be a good fit here. Whether it happens, you might be right. It might be too much dough. This will be his last chance to go for that big home run deal. It's probably why it didn't get done in LA, I'm guessing. We'll see. Someone asking about Drew Stafford. I believe he gets done in Winnipeg from what I'm hearing. People want Michael Frolik. I'm unsure. I like, because I know when he was drafted, he got drafted by Florida, and I was a big fan. I thought, this guy's got a lot of skill. And just watching him in Winnipeg, I don't know.
Sometimes you see him, right?
Yeah.
Can make a nice play. I don't know how that he doesn't remind you a bit of Hoodler. You know, very creative, playmaking guy, but.
Boy, I don't even, I think that's disrespect to Hoodler.
Well, Hoodler's put up more points to be sure, but again, 19 goals last year. You put him on that top line, he'd do something.
Yeah, you're going to have to pay him, though.
That's true. You're going to pay all these
you're
guys.
You're going to have to pay
July
that
1st,
guy.
Man. How about this guy? I know that no one likes age, but if you wanted a couple of years before the cap crunch that will come for the Flames comes, or at least around the same time, Marty St. Louis is not going to go back to New York. He's 40. He's a right winger. And he made a ton of dough last year.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just for a year or two, that might bridge a gap. And when you do need to hand out huge dough, he'll be gonzo, or at least about to be gone.
Yeah. Lots of questions coming in. We'll, you know what? We'll roll one more segment with this. It's 7:20 right now. We'll come back more. What about Mike Richards? What about Chris Stewart? Williams doesn't make sense. We need speed and size. He can skate. Justin Williams, a quick guy.
Joel Ward's name popping up?
Joel Ward. I have thoughts on him. What about Hoodler? Why wouldn't we extend him? We'll continue with the conversation. If you've got a question, you want to pump it through again, 960-960 on your mobile phone. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Rise and shine with Boomer doing sports talk his way. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Is that a didgeridoo?
It's gotta be.
Warner has a didgeridoo. Yeah. Ah, you heard me. Retro, he's got a didgeridoo.
Well,
I can see him
crushing a Great Western beer by a fire. I gotta get my didgeridoo up. Check this out, boys. This is from Oz.
Well, I think it was one of those things. You go visit Australia and you come home with all the typical gear. Oh, did you get a boomerang? Oh, you did? Okay. So did you bring a kangaroo? Not as easy to do as you'd think. Because, of course, you have, like you say, to your point, you have a few beers and then everybody's got to try the didgeridoo.
Yeah.
Is what it ends up sounding like.
Now, you know that my significant other happens to be from Dan Ende.
Yeah.
Guess what we've got holding up a wall in the basement?
A kangaroo? Really? A didgeridoo.
Only time you try it, when you've had too many drinks, you're like,
it's absolutely,
we got to try to play that instrument.
I got to learn how to do this
party
thing.
Time. A lot of didgeridoos around here.
So two of the three guys on this show have, I got to go online.
Get me a didgeridoo.
Jay, can you get me a didgeridoo? I need a deal on a didgeridoo.
Didgeridoo.com.
Expense that to Rogers. It's a show material.
Elliot Friedman coming up in the next segment right now, 728. We're going to keep going with...
Have fun explaining that one to the wife.
Yeah, you can't expense this. This is going to have to come out of your salary.
Why is there a...
What is a diggeridoo?
It's didgeridoo. Well, why do we need one? Well, we don't. So why did you... I don't know. I needed one.
I don't buy makeup. I buy instruments.
Here's how... Jay started the 720 break on Monday with Sweet Emotion, and there's a didgeridoo, and we got talking about it, and Rhett's got one, and Pinder's got one, so then I needed one, so Jay went online at didgeridoo.com and got, it's a long story, hon, just, let's have some beers and you're going to love it, which is usually how everything goes in my house. Sweetie, no, come on, just have a few beers, you're going to love it.
That's a win, isn't it?
Nope. You'd be amazed. So many things happen in my house. What do you want to do tomorrow? What do you want the Flames to do Wednesday? We'll end up talking about this again tomorrow, but for what it's worth. Free agency, now with Dougie Hamilton in the fold, maybe defense isn't going to be one of the big targets. Is it going to be trades? Is it going to be, we're doing nothing? We're going to sit and wait until teams get their cap figured out, find out who's expendable, and then jump in, or are they going to market? And if so, whom?
Got a lot of forwards, boom.
This one here. Again, text it through if you got some thoughts. Joel Ward, the former Predator, former Washington Capital, is going to market. The thing that worries me about Joel Ward, and on one hand, I'm talking about Justin Williams. I wouldn't mind that deal. He's 33. Joel Ward is 34. I don't know. That doesn't strike me as the answer.
So what if you are going to add a forward, what are you looking for? Is it someone that can play the right side in the top six? Is it more sandpaper in the bottom six? Is it size in your top six? What are you looking for?
I think there's sandpaper. I think Boma brings sandpaper. Russell, Gio. I don't think this team lacks for sandpaper. You don't need to scrap anymore. So all you need is guys with some spit in their game. And I think there is that. If Ferland can make the team.
Boma's on it.
Yeah. He's gonna have that.
Geez, how could Ferland not make the team? I mean, if he is 80% of the guy we saw in the Vancouver series, he's...
The only thing how did that switch get flipped? Why did it take that Vancouver series?
I remember sitting in the studio in the fall and getting ridiculed with the suggestion that he could score 20 in the league. Remember that?
Yeah.
I mean, it was a long shot.
I will still ridicule you for it, but that said...
But point being is that the tools...
We scored twice.
The tools were always there. It was just a matter of opportunity and getting that kid on the straight and narrow, which we found out about in the playoffs. That was what no one knew, and that what we all know now is that he went into substance abuse last summer in terms of he got himself clean, been off the booze for a while.
Yeah.
And
the only reason I say that,
best shape of his life,
is because it was so instant, the turnaround. It's like, wow, how did it take you this long? And yeah, maybe it is because he cleaned up his act. Anyway, that notwithstanding, I don't know about Joel Ward.
You hate to say it because it's like we're doing the big show Wednesday, but there's a lot of mistakes made July 1.
There is.
And this team is not lacking a major piece. I mean, if we're talking about, you know, maybe trying to upgrade on Hiller or maybe trying to get a right winger that can play in your top nine. Those aren't huge holes. Like the massive issue they had coming out of the season, they've addressed. Their depth on defense has been completely overhauled with the acquisition of a 21-year-old elite right-hand shot defender.
Yeah, there's no denying that. I really was thinking, okay, which D-man is it going to be? Now, I don't know if they're even going to draft a D-man.
Why would
know.
You? You got lots now.
I know, and Elliot will talk about it. In his blog, he threw out Chris Stewart's name. Chris Stewart is going to be a free agent. He's 27, 6'2", 230. We know all about him. We know that the Flames were kicking tires on him pre-deadline. He instead goes to the Minnesota Wild. He had 11 points in 20 games with the Wild, three of them goals. So last year, all in... in 81 games, had 14 goals, 36 points.
Those Bowman numbers? As weird as that sounds.
He is that enigma. He's big. He's a force. He's hard to handle. And when he's at his best, yeah, he would be a great Flame. Right winger, right-handed forward, would fit like a glove. But it's when he disappears on you. And you know what? I have fun at his expense. But there's a bit of Rennie Bork here to me this guy. When you watch him, it's like, you could be one of the best power forwards in the league. You have 20 goal every single season. It's not even potential. You have it.
Yeah. The lockout year, he had 18 goals in 48 games. If you prorate that, that's exactly 30. So to have a 30-goal season and to be 230 pounds and a right-hand shot, that checks a lot of boxes on a lot of teams' shopping lists. But you're right. It's the when are we going to see it and how often are we going to see it?
Now, that said, even at his worst, he's getting you 15 goals. I don't know.
And I just don't know how much you can read into his Buffalo numbers either. He was over a half point per game in Minnesota. He was not that in Buffalo, but Matt Molson looked like a nobody in Buffalo.
Yeah.
Hodgson's fallen off the map in Buffalo. I mean, if your name wasn't Zegmus Girgensons, you had an awful year in Buffalo last
year. If that's
year,
in fact his name.
Which may not be. We don't know.
If that's your name or something close to it.
Point being, there was a very short list of Sabres that had good years last year.
No, I agree with you 100%. I just don't know. I'd be okay with it, I guess, depending again on the number and the term.
And the thing with him is there's a lot of mistakes made July 1. But he didn't exactly blow anyone's socks off last year. So if you do like him and you trust the asset, it's kind of a buy low opportunity in a sense. If you think he's a guy that can score 30,
which
you
is
put
probably
him in the right spot,
yeah, which is probably still paying high. But I know what you're not giving up a pick. You're not giving up.
It's not
an asset. It's dollars. It just depends, I guess, where you feel as a team you're going to have to be in the next 3 or 4 years.
So, for example, let's travel back in time a year. Would you rather have Chris Stewart or Matt Bolesky? Probably Chris Stewart, or it's close, right? And at the end of this year, you'd want Matt Bolesky way more. So I'm just sort of saying, based on the one season we just saw, opinions have changed a lot. Like, he's not going to get Bolesky money. So he might be as good or better than Bolesky, and yet the money's not going to be there. He'll be relatively cheap on July 1st. For July 1st signings, might not be that bad.
What do you think he gets? That said, and I don't know that I disagree, but
three.
That's... Oh, geez, really? No.
Four?
Chris Stewart?
Look, he's...
What was he making last in his last contract?
Big deal. No,
yeah,
three's probably low. But again, he's coming off a real... He's season, right? He had the sad trombone going.
Well, but did he?
Yeah, he did. Because he was a 100 penalty minute, 30 goal pace guy 3 years ago. And he nowhere near either this year.
But there's also other years he's been nowhere near it.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. And I just think he's not going to get anywhere near. Bolesky, if we think Bolesky's going to go, what, five ish? I think he slots in at four or under, which.
He was making 4-2.
Right. And that was.
I don't think he's going down.
He scored 28 goals in Colorado in 09-10. That's what he's getting paid for.
Can we...
You know, like if David Jones goes to market, he's not going to get more than he's making now. He was a free agent at the right time.
Well, I'll say this. If you can get him for three, if you can get him for under four, yes, sign him. I'm in. Yeah. You in, they in, I'm in. For sure. But I just don't know that
I might be out to lunch on the term, but or the money, I should say. But
I think
he comes in significantly less than Matt Bolesky.
Yeah. What about Mike Green? Again, he was making $6 million. He's 29. Has been a little bit less injured as of late, but I don't know that you're going to spend dough on a defense.
Well, and what are you doing? Who are you pushing out of the... You're putting a guy that should be playing every night into the press box. I don't know what you're upgrading there. Like, do you want Chris Russell on your third pairing or Mike Green at $5-6 million a year? He's not going to crack the top four on this team when you've got Giordano, Hamilton, Brody, Weidman. He's not better than any of those guys.
Just some final thoughts from the fan feedback line on this. Williams and Richards would be perfect. They both play the game the right way and played together. They're just tired of listening to Sutter. I don't know that Brad, I don't know what, or with Mike Richards. I don't know what's left. I really don't. This guy, a few years ago, absolutely. Would have been my captain, would play for me anytime. I just don't know that he can get there anymore. I don't know that he can get there.
And foot speed is something that you just can't.
You can't go without it.
You can't ignore. It's too central to the game today.
TJ Oshie would be a great fit in Calgary. Right winger, 27. What would it take? St. Louis Blues are a team to watch.
They are.
Because before all of the trades went down, they were a team, okay, keep an eye on them. They're going to be making some kind of a move. Nothing's happened. And really, nothing's changed. I still think they need to make a move of some sort. What would it take? I think it would take a fair bit, but I could be wrong because they got Hamilton for picks. Is Glenn Cross coming back? I can't imagine. My understanding is when that was done, both sides were ready for a fresh start. I think the leadership and environment in Calgary would be perfect for Chris Stewart. He would fit in amazing with this group, especially the group of leaders. Well, at 27 or whatever he is.
Not old.
Not old, but would kind of almost be one of those leaders. You counting on him to be a leader? Bolesky only did well because he's on Anaheim. I don't know. We watched that series. It's not like he was just sitting back door and they were banking him in off his pants.
Who was he playing with?
Well, he was with Kessler.
Silverberg and Kessler.
Yeah.
So that, nice line mates, but it wasn't like he was riding shotgun with Perry and Getzlaff all year.
Jeez, boys. The Flames don't need scoring help. They need help on preventing shots and increasing offensive zone time. Stewart does neither.
Is he a bad possession player?
You're asking me. What he is big, and you still need size, and hey.
Corsi 4%.
I don't know. I'd rather see Frolik than shed salary. Frolik. No to Chris Stewart. Frolik. We'll see. Not the biggest Frolik guy in the world. Guess he's fine, right? He's okay.
Well, and to your point, did Chicago miss him at all?
Sure didn't.
Right.
And I don't know that the Jets, when you look at what they were about, they were more about Wheeler and Shifley and Lowry. Those were the guys. He had 42 points in 82 games. Okay.
Here's the other thing about adding a forward, and maybe we can get into this later at further length.
Let's get to Elliott.
They have a bunch of guys that are NHLers. So if you're adding a guy, you got to move some guys out. We'll leave it at that.
All right. Let's break and come back with Elliott Friedman. He's our NHL insider, and we'll talk to him next. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Sportsnet 960 mornings with Boomer in the Morning on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Streaming live at sportsnet.ca/960.
He's back from Vegas, he's back from Florida, and he's back with us, Elliott Friedman, our NHL insider. What happened this weekend? Ordinarily, we'll see the odd move made. This team's kind of shuffle around for picks, but a lot of times you go into the draft hearing big names are going to be moved, and a lot of times it doesn't happen. This year, aside from Phil Kessel, it's like everything happened. What was your read on the weekend?
Well, it's one of those times, man, where we go through a situation where we all predict big things are going to be happening, and we actually were right for a change. You know, honestly, Dean, we thought this was going to occur because every team was saying that free agency wasn't really going to solve a lot of people's problems this year, and it went out and happened. And the two biggest linchpins were the Calgary Flames and the Boston Bruins. And I was surprised by the trades that happened. I was told on Friday morning that the Kings had made a run at Lucic, but they couldn't get him. They couldn't make it work. And then obviously that changed. And I did have an idea that Dougie Hamilton was going to get traded on Thursday night, but I didn't see Calgary as the team. I really thought that if the Bruins were going to do it, it was going to be either – it was going to be to get a high pick, or it was because Edmonton actually agreed to give them Darnell Nurse. I didn't think it was going to be to Calgary. So there were a couple of real stunner moves there, but I don't think anybody should be surprised that stuff happened.
So why did the trade between for Dougie Hamilton with Calgary and Boston, why did it happen? Because certainly it seems like a really good deal for the Flames, and I know that you have to, I mean, time will tell, but it sure seems like this is a fantastic deal. Why were three draft picks, that was shake hands, that was good for Don Sweeney?
Well, I think the reason it came down to was if you look at the three draft picks, that's pretty much what an offer sheet would have been. So, you know, don't forget that when the Boston Bruins, and Don Sweeney was a member of the organization, when they traded Phil Kessel to Toronto, what they traded for Kessel was around what an offer sheet would have been at that time. Because Burke was threatening to trade, was threatening to offer sheet Kessel, and instead they made the deal. And that's the way they did it. It was offer sheet style. So there is history in that organization to do that. And now that I'm thinking about it, I probably should have put that in my vlog yesterday.
Yeah.
But I didn't think about it until now, until you put it in my head, Dean.
That's right.
You know, the other thing, too, is that I don't think there was a ton. One thing I'm getting for sure is when I was on the draft floor and the Hamilton trade was breaking, Brad Treliving was there and he was doing his trade call, pacing around. We could all see it. And that was when some of the teams were coming in and we were, and like there were guys coming up to us and saying, are these Hamilton reports true? And we're like, yeah, and we're pointing to Treliving on the trade call. And they didn't know. Like this is the thing that I think there were only about seven or eight teams that knew. I think they were all in the Western Conference. And they just decided, and as I reported yesterday, I heard that they had offered him 6 years and $33 million. I'd heard that Hamilton was looking about $2 million more a year. And before everybody freaks out about that, you know, I think that people have to understand that these are opening offers. And I don't know if the Bruins had much room to move, but maybe Hamilton did. I don't know. The fact is the Bruins chose to make the move. And I guess they just wanted the picks. They, you know, they're in a tough cap spot. And instead of taking a player back, like, you know, if I'm the Bruins and I'm making that deal, I'm probably asking for TJ Brody. But they decided that they could make the move and they wanted the picks because they were trying to move up with Arizona, and I believe that's what their strategy was going to be. And right now they're getting roasted, but time will tell.
They are getting roasted, and I just wonder if you're Don Sweeney, if you're going to try to reload this thing or reset it, would you not be better off moving older veterans rather than a 21-year-old who looks like an elite defender in the making if he isn't one already? I mean, I would be shopping Zdeno Chara if I'm this guy, not Hamilton.
Yeah, but, you know, and I think that's probably all true, Ryan. But first of all, Chara's got a no trade, so there's a limited amount you can do there. Secondly, I don't think you're going to get the return for Chara that you would have for Hamilton. I mean, we can argue about how good it is, but I'm not sure that... Look, if you look at it, Kevin Bieksa was going to get Vancouver a second-round pick before that deal fell apart. What are you getting for Chara at this point in his career? And he's got 2 years left past this one on his contract. So that's probably... And, you know, I hate it when a guy gets traded and they all start to... And people start to assassinate his character. Didn't fit in. Uppity
he's
guy.
Uppity, yeah.
Using one of the Boston... And what a word to use, my goodness. But, you know, in the Boston Herald, you know, that says to me that the Boston Bruins had evidently decided that Dougie Hamilton, they weren't going to pay him. So when you've decided and you've made that move, that's the move you're making for better or for worse. Now, you know, I don't know about the kids that they drafted, although I had one, you know, coach tell me he really thought Zboril had a real chance to be something. So, I mean, we'll see if it works out. But you're right. On this day, in 3 years from now, we might look back at this and say, oh, okay, I understand. But right now, we're all looking at this like, what? Because the whole thing with Lucic, too, was they asked him, you know, what are you thinking for your next contract? I don't think they ever got to money. He just said 8 years. And they were looking at five, and they just said, we better make this deal. You know, everybody's going to ask for 8 years. And this is the thing. Like, an opening negotiation is don't undercut your own position. Like, when Dean goes in to negotiate his contract with Kelly, they go to him, well, Dean, what do you want? He says, well, I want $1 million. Because if you come in too low, you're destroying your own position. And we all know Dean. He gets his $1 million.
Well, actually, you know what? Yeah, it goes the other way. I come in, I'm like, you know what? I am worth a great deal, but that's too much. It'll make everyone else jealous, and I just want harmony.
That's right. That's I understand that about you. You're a great team player. Yeah.
It's Rhett's deal, the one you're thinking
yeah,
of.
That makes us all sour. What else did you hear? Because I know before, even as recent as the awards in Vegas, there was talk about Jiří Hudler. Anything more on that front?
No, I didn't hear a ton about Hudler, I have to say. You know, the one thing, like, I think if the Flames decide to do it, I think Pittsburgh is a nice fit. You know, the one thing about Pittsburgh is Jim Rutherford's sitting there, and he's got a lot of teams calling him. He's got Chicago calling about Patrick Sharp. He's got Toronto calling about Phil Kessel. He's got St. Louis calling him about TJ Oshie. He's got Carolina calling him about Jeff Skinner. And I think what he's just doing is waiting until to see if one of these teams crack. And, you know, everybody's looking at Pittsburgh and saying, oh, they're desperate to add a winger. They need to add people to play with Crosby and Malkin. Well, I think Jim Rutherford's kind of looking at it the other way. Yeah, you know, we need a winger, but some of these teams are desperate to make moves. Toronto wants to unload Kessel in the worst way. Chicago's got to create cap room. St. Louis is looking to change their group. Carolina would like to get rid of Skinner. Who's going to make me the best offer? And, it, you know, it's a gigantic poker game. It's a big game of chicken. They're all sitting here and they're all saying, okay, which one of us has the biggest ones? And I think he's going to try to wait some of these teams out. It's a really interesting strategy because we all look at it like, oh, my God, Pittsburgh's got to be desperate to get wingers. Rutherford's looking at all these other teams saying, you're all desperate to unload salary. Which one of you is going to make it worth my while to do it? I think they went pretty far down the road with Kessel. I heard Toronto was willing to take a couple of their contracts back. I wonder if it would be like a Scuderi, maybe a Kunitz. But then becomes the question is, okay, if we're going to do that, how are you going to make it worth our while? Are you going to give us two prospects? Are you going to give us Derek Pouliot? Are you going to give us Derek Pouliot and somebody else? And then you've got Pittsburgh probably saying, look, we'll give you one prospect and some picks, but we don't want to give you two of them. And that's kind of, I think, where they were.
A thought on Peter Chiarelli's day, aside from the fluking into McDavid.
You know, I thought it was interesting. You know, I got really mixed reaction to the Griffin-Reinhardt deal. I think the Oilers were really excited because they know this player. I mean, he played there in junior. Nobody saw them more than him, or them. I shouldn't say Chiarelli, but their organization. You know, I thought it was, you know, a big price to pay, but he's a young defenseman. If you're going to take that chance, like the thing we all said about Calgary is, you know, if you're with the picks you give up for Calgary to get Dougie Hamilton, what are the chances you're trading the next Dougie Hamilton? I mean, if your best pick you're giving up for him is 15 and 2 second rounders, you can feel as confident as you can be that you're not giving up the next Dougie Hamilton. It can happen, but it's not as likely. You know, you look at Edmonton, Griffin Reinhardt gave up a 16 and a 33. You know, the question comes down to, are you giving up the next Griffin Reinhardt? I'd say there's a slightly more danger that Edmonton's giving up a player that will hurt them more than Calgary is. But you know the guy the most. You take your chance. And I do think Edmonton is a team, all of a sudden, with a lot of talented young defensemen who have a chance. You're looking at them now, and you see Reinhardt, you see Klefbom, you see Nurse, you know, you see what they've got, and you say, okay, it makes a lot of sense. Plus, they got Talbot out of there. Now, they were in on Leonard, but they weren't willing to take Colin Greening. I think if you have a choice, if you have to take Leonard and Greening, or you have to take Talbot, I think you probably take your chance on Talbot.
I want to get you to stick with goaltenders for a moment, because I'm just curious now, with July 1st around the corner, if the Flames, I think all things being equal, probably would have been in the market for a defenseman. I think that's probably not so much the case now.
I don't know where they'd have room. You're right.
Leonard gets dealt. Anthony Emmy has moved. Eddie Lack got moved. Talbot, Antti Raanta. They have Hiller, a UFA in Ramo, and obviously they've got there's a succession plan in place. I just wonder, is there what goaltenders could be on the move, or if you're looking for a goalie, is there somebody out there that we need to pay attention to?
Well, I think the thing that's interesting was what Doug Wilson said. Like, he doesn't have a goalie. And, you know, he says to us after the draft on Sunday, what are you thinking there? Like, you know, we say to him, what are you thinking there? And he comes on and he says, there's names you guys haven't thought of that are available or are available for cap purposes. So, like, if you have any kind of reporting interest whatsoever, you're going through the list. Yeah. And, you know, I would think that he's in the mix on Hiller. I'm not saying that, you know, Hiller's going to be the guy, but I would bet that, you know, he's one of the guys that Wilson is considering. You know, I had heard 2 weeks ago that San Jose was going to ask about Rask. Not make a Rask deal, but just ask, is he available? And I checked it, and I was told that Boston wasn't interested in doing it because they really don't have an internal candidate. Like, the Zane McIntyre, the kid they just signed out of school from North Dakota, and Malcolm Subban was their first-round draft pick last year from the OHL. Those guys are a couple of years away. Now, they did add Martin Jones, but Don Sweeney said he's not interested in making the deal. So, you know, I doubt that San Jose would trade Martin Jones, would get Martin Jones directly from L.A., but I wonder if Jones is a guy that they're going to look at, because they would have seen him a lot. So I think that's probably a Martin Jones San Jose thing, and maybe a Martin Jones San Jose thing would be potential, or maybe they're still in on Hiller. Obviously, he's going to be looking at a couple of things out there.
Staying with goalies in California, the Ducks added Anton Khudobin. I can't figure out what they're trying to do, although they seem to be able to find goalies and collect them better than anyone else in the league.
Well, you know, the one thing is John Gibson's still on a two-way, right? So they can put him in the AHL if they want to. You know, Bob Murray, you know, he's hilarious. Bob Murray's a pretty hilarious interview. He's like, Kel bleeping everybody, I'm not trading John Gibson. What I think he's going to do is, if he doesn't get anything he likes, he's going to take this into next year and Gibson's going to start in the AHL. You know, I think they run a risk of Gibson getting really unhappy if it hasn't happened already, but they'll have to deal with that. The thing that this says to me is that if you look at Murray's docket, guys, he's got some big contracts coming up. Kessler's heading into the last year. He's going to have to deal with Hampus Lindholm, who's got a year left until he's restricted free agent. Anderson is a year left until he's restricted free agent. I think Buffalo called about Anderson, and I think it's possible they offered the first pick of the second round, number 31, for him before they used it in the Ryan O'Reilly deal. But that was not going to do it. Bob Murray's going to take a lot more than that to get Frederick Anderson. So what I think is that he takes this into next season and he kind of says, okay, this is what I'm thinking before, and he waits and sees how it all plays out. You know, somebody's going to need a goalie, and somebody always does. Khudobin's got some pretty good respect for what he is around the National Hockey League, and eventually he's going to trade Anderson or Gibson. So we'll just have to figure out when it happens. But he says, I'm not afraid to take it into next year because he's got Gibson on a two-way.
60 to 90 seconds. Give me a hot scoop. And Chicago, I noticed, still hasn't traded anybody. The old, all they need to do is trade Versteeg and Sharp and Bickle, and they'll be just fine. Not as easy as that. What are you hearing with Chicago?
Something was going on with Chicago and Montreal for Versteeg and a fifth-rounder coming back, and it didn't happen. Now, it was reported that Versteeg asked for a contract extension. The Canadiens said no, and he vetoed the trade. Now, and I'll give Pierre LeBrun credit. He's the guy who reached Versteeg, and Versteeg said that's not true. But something happened there. Hot scoop. Well, you know, Vladimir Sobotka let the Blues know this morning that he's not coming back. He's staying in the KHL. That's a bit of a loss for them. You know, I think the Bieksa thing maybe not to San Jose, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Canucks are working on something else. There was a lot of interest in Bieksa. There were a lot of teams that that called about him, and there were about nine that really tried to say, look, we'd like to be in on this. So Bieksa has some choice, and I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Vancouver's trying to put that deal back together, because you just don't want to have this one sit around.
All right, fella, thanks. We'll talk to you again. Enjoy your Canada Day.
Thank you, you too, guys. Are you working on Wednesday or no?
You betcha.
Yes, sir.
You actually are working?
Well, Red isn't, but yeah, the two.
Yeah, Red hasn't worked for weeks, but.
Oh, okay. You know, because Mulberg, you get a lot of. You're very McCown-esque with your vacation time. Like, well, it never seemed to work.
I work Wednesday, but then I'm off for the next week and a half.
He's got seven okay, well, vacation days right. coming in after
yeah, I got
that.
It I got to take some
so,
time.
When's my last one?
Well, I think it was like Friday.
Oh, it's this Friday? Okay.
No, I think it was last Friday.
Oh, okay.
I'm not well, paying you for this. Speaking. I'm not paying oh, okay. you for well, what that... you just delivered.
Okay, well, that's good. That's no problem at all. I didn't really deliver much there.
That's right.
So does this mean this is the last time we're talking, Mulberg?
No, see, I can't bear to do it. I'll maybe dig into my own pocket and throw you some cash. I need to talk to Elliot. I'll miss you.
No, but is this the last time you and I are talking this year?
Well, I think it's, yeah, I think so.
Well, I'll miss you. Have a good summer.
Yeah.
Elliot, will you work for Fine Liqueurs and Microbrews and when I'm filling in for him, or is this done?
You know, I'm going to be honest with you guys. Yeah, I'll do, you know, yeah, obviously I'll help you guys out. It's not a problem at all, but there may not be a next year. I'm going to be considering ending all my radio stuff
because
the way that stuff is getting twisted and turned around, it's not worth the aggravation.
And, we had you trending in Russia. Come on.
Yeah, it's not worth it. The thing you love doing on radio more than everything else is just shooting the breeze and, you know, having fun and just talking hockey like you would be at a bar.
Yeah.
And there's a cottage industry now of people who turn it into stuff that it really isn't. And it might not be, a few of us are discussing it. It's gotten too out of control. Like when I write it or tweet it, I control it. So I can handle it as I need fit. And unfortunately, some of the stuff that's happening with our radio words, it's got a few of us considering whether or not it's a smart thing to do anymore.
It's posturing for a raise, boom.
Yeah, this.
No, I don't do stuff like that.
This is you posturing for a raise.
If I'm back, I'm going to do it for the same amount.
Nice. And you'll be back. You wouldn't leave me. Hey, you know what? Ditch all the other losers. And by the way, we're within the same company, so you might be contractually obligated.
Actually, I'm not. I can tell you that.
All right. Yeah. Thanks, Elliot.
Boy, hey, Boomer, have a great summer.
Yeah.
Pinder, I'll speak to you Friday.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, man.
We might call you Wednesday because you're a big deal.
Yeah, okay. That's no problem.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks, Elliot.
Take care, guys.
Goodbye, Elliot. Hang up already. Jeez. There goes Elliot Freeman.
Getting an invoice for that, for sure.
Again, I've been behind all day. I'm 8:05. We have guests in studio. We're going to talk about bull busting. I told you this a year ago. I can get you on the back of one of these things.
I'd like a seat. I don't know if I want to be that close.
I have that kind of pull. Mutton busting? How about mutton busting? Can I get you on some mutton?
A little safer on the mutton.
Yeah, we'll get into it. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.